Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. It's a privilege for me to share the message of God's unconditional love with you in the area of finances. Today we are looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, where the Bible says something, man, it is astounding if we look at this scripture. Let me read chapter 9 verse 6 to you, and we're going to look into depth into the scripture. It says, "But I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully." Now that can be misunderstood. I don't care in what you read in the epistles, it must always line up with what Jesus Christ has done for us. The previous broadcast is such a powerful message about sowing and reaping. And if you don't have that, you need to get that. You must have that. It's a must. I tell you, you will be so blessed when you can get the whole sowing and reaping thing in perspective with what Jesus Christ has done for you. Now, when I read about sowing and reaping in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, it must line up with what Jesus Christ modeled and what he taught when he was on the earth, because he was the perfect reflection. He was the exact representation of who the Father was. And the Bible says in the last days he spoke to us through his Son, his Word. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? So if we can see it that way, we will be able to interpret the scripture. There's actually a very easy interpretation for the scripture. If you just open your ears and open your heart to understand what is said here. If I just take this one scripture, and it speaks about finances, and I just read it and say, and let me read it, "But I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully." If I just read that scripture, you know what's going to happen? I will be easily misled. I tell you, I read that scripture over and over and over, and I just felt in my heart there's something that I don't see in the scripture. Because to me, it looked like, if I give a lot of money, I'm going to reap a lot of money. And I just knew that's not the New Testament principle. It cannot be like that. Now you might say, "Bertie, but if you are so one-track minded, how will you ever interpret Scripture?" Because you can't say, "Well, I read what I see here, but it doesn't make sense, so I'm going to read it again until it makes sense." Now that's exactly what I believe we must do as Christians. We must take the Word of God, the computation of God, and we take the computation of God, which is through one man sin came into the world, and through one man's obedience righteousness came into the world and unto many. If we take that computation, it must be in everything we interpret, because that's God's Word. God's Word to us is what Jesus Christ portrayed. Grace and truth came by Jesus, didn't come by Moses. So we must make sure whenever we interpret the scripture that we read grace and truth in it. If we don't read grace in that scripture, it can be misunderstood. And I tell you, I read the scripture a couple of times through, and after a while I start to say, "Well, if I don't understand here, let me start at verse chapter 9 verse 1 and then I still didn't really get the thing. Then I started in chapter 8, and then it started to make sense to me, and I'm going to explain to you what I saw there. I just want to say that so that you can know that's the way, that's the type of effort you must put into the studying of the Word of God to see the Word, the message of Jesus Christ. We cannot compromise, people. We cannot have a compromise between the law and grace. It's either grace, and if it's leavened, if it's grace leavened, it's not grace anymore. It is just the law. There's no gray area in the kingdom of God. It's either light or it's darkness. You're either in grace or you're not in grace. You either preach the Word or you don't preach the Word. You either believe the Word or you don't believe the Word. It might look like the Word, but it's not the Word. Now, that I say if it's, of course, under the law mentality. Now, chapter 8 speaks about the collection for other Christians. The people that Paul write this letter to made a promise to give a wonderful gift, financial contribution to a church that was poor. And they did this thing about a year before this letter was written. And the thing they did was, they went and told people this thing. It's exactly like when people go to Africa. If I take people with me to Africa, it's sometimes the only thing I want to tell them is, please don't make the people promises. Because you're going to make a promise and not do it, and then they're going to be upset with me. Now what happens is, Paul came and he said, listen, you made a promise to these people, and we just want to, I want you to know that Titus is coming to you guys, and he wants to tell you that you must get this collection together so that when we come to receive this, it will be not a thing of pressure on you, but it will be something that's just given out of generosity and not out of compulsion. So what happens? They sent, well, let me put it this way, Titus wasn't sent. He came on his own, but Paul sent another man with him and said, listen, we're sending this other guy with him so that you will not think that we are just going to squander the money. I've got a faithful person coming together with Titus. Isn't that beautiful? That's powerful, because he just wanted people to have rest in their minds, even if they knew that they were faithful, they're not going to steal the money. Just for the peace of another guy's mind, they sent somebody with. And then we get to chapter 9, where it speaks about cheerful giving, and this whole thing about how they must reason before they give. How should they think about this gift? How do you calculate your things spiritually before you give? And that's actually what is taught in this piece. Now let's read from verse 5. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Now what he says here is, he says, I come and we wanted this thing to be made ready so that when we come to you, it will not be just, we will stand there looking at you red-faced and we'll be ashamed, you'll be ashamed, you don't have the things to give, you weren't ready to give, you didn't maybe save up to give or anything like that. So he says, I want this thing, and when you give, to be a matter of bounty. That word bounty in the Greek is the word, it literally means to give out of generosity. So when they give, they said, I want you to give out of generosity, not out of covetousness. Now covetousness has got a couple of meanings in the original language, and of which I want to mention two. The first one is to be stingy, to have a love of money and to hold on to it. And then the other thing is to be obsessed with gaining. So you just want more. So he says, don't give. He says, when you give, I want you to give out of generosity, because giving is not about receiving, it's about being generous. Hallelujah. Remember what we said about giving and receiving in the previous session? That when you give to people, you're going to reap from them something. So if you are generous to people, they're going to be generous to you. That's exactly what Jesus Christ taught in Luke chapter 6 from verse 35 to 38. He says, if you give, it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give into your bosom. And then the context wasn't even finances, but it was mercy and grace and forgiveness. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus wasn't that all that worried about finances, because he knew that what he did was enough to get finances into our lives if we can just believe it. Okay, let's get back to the scripture. He says, when you give, it must be a matter of generosity and not a matter of covetousness or being obsessed with gaining or to be stingy. So when you give, it doesn't help you give with the obsession to get. Or you give to be stingy. Now, verse 6 goes more into the stingy thing. But I had to mention the other one because it's also in the Greek meaning. But Paul just came and he just took the stingy part because they made a promise and maybe they don't want to give. Remember, the people in the church that didn't have the money was excited about the gift that this church in Corinth wanted to give. They were excited, and it looks to me as if it was a big promise. It was something big, you know, that could excite them. And what think of what would happen in the lives of those new believers if they would have lied and not give anything. It would have been devastating. They would have said, but is that the way Christians live? That's older Christians. That's people that are really, you know, they've got wealth. God's blessed them. They can't even be generous. And they've promised. They are liars. It would have been a fire that would have been kindled that Paul and the other apostles and his friends would have struggled to put out. Now, let's read verse 6. You must have that as a foundation. You can say, Bertie, but why should I have that as a foundation? Because Paul wrote it that way. That's the foundation of chapter 8. Now we're going into chapter 9. Let's read verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So what it means is, if you give out of stinginess, you're gonna reap out of stinginess. If you give out of generosity, if you give out of that, you'll reap out of generosity. Now, you can go and read in the Amplified Bible. It is not the word but it says there, remember, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. And when I heard the word remember there, I thought, well, Paul must have been quoting somewhere from the Old Covenant. Then I found Proverbs 11:24, the cross reference where he quoted from. And I want to go to Proverbs 11:24 because the scripture that he quoted was the foundation for the rest of those of the rest of the things he said. Proverbs 11 verse 24. This is powerful. This is just going to bless you so much. There is that scatters and yet increase, and there is that withhold more than is meet but is tendeth to poverty. Let me read it again. There is that scatters and yet increaseth, and there is that withholds more than is meet or more than is right, but it tendeth to poverty. Verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. Verse 26. He that withholds corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that sells it. Now let's just see what he says here. He said there are those that give out, that sells. And the context here is farmers that would farm, get the harvest, maybe be scared or wait for the price to rise or whatever, and they would just keep their corn or the harvest they've made, and the people couldn't buy that, and that it was actually a man-made it could be like a man-made famine. It could be a man-made struggle in the land because people are withholding what they've been reaping. Now, that is what he quotes here. And then he said, there are those that scatter out, but they still increase. Then there are those that withhold, and they tend to poverty. And then it says here, but the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. In other words, he's using an allegory there. He says, listen, if you give, it will be given to you again. Exactly what we are seeing here. He says, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. But then comes verse 26, and this is explaining the whole thing. He that withholds corn, the people shall curse him. So the context with the withholding is what people will think of you. Amen. Remember the context of 2 Corinthians 8. They made a promise, and now Paul is actually a bit scared that they're not going to do what they've promised. And he said, give liberally. and then will be given to you liberally. And then he says, remember, and then he quotes this piece out of Proverbs. And it says about people that gives and yet increase. He says, don't be scared to give, you'll yet you will increase. And we read that in verse 8, where he says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that you can have enough for yourself and to give. So the context for the receiving is the grace of God, not the giving to the people. Like I said in the previous broadcast, the giving to people from people you're going to reap. And that's exactly the cross-reference that Paul quotes in Proverbs 11. He said, he, verse 26, he that withholds corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that sells it. Isn't that wonderful? Blessing shall be upon the head of him that sells it. Blessing shall, let me put it in the context of 2 Corinthians. He says, when I come to you, I want you to give out of generosity, and I don't want you to give out of stinginess. Remember this. Or let me put my own words. Remember, and I know it wasn't like that, but this is the way I say it. Remember Proverbs 11 verses 24. Remember that. 24 to 26. Remember that scripture, people. He which sows sparingly shall also from the people reap a curse. They're going to curse you. If you're going to give to these people being stingy, to whom you've made this wonderful promise, they're going to curse you, man. They're not going to say good things about you. They're going to be stingy to speak a blessing over you. And the next thing, and he that sows out of gratitude and also out of generosity a good amount, not a little bit, a good amount, they're going to reap bountifully. What does the scripture say in Proverbs 11 verse 26? Blessing shall be upon their head. From whom? From the people that will speak to them. And God will continue to supply for them out of His grace. Hallelujah. Let's read verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, meaning because we put pressure on you, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now, here comes Paul. He says, listen, I don't want you to be stingy. Be generous. Remember this. You've made a promise to people. You're going to give generously. The scripture says in Proverbs 11 verse 24 to 26 clearly that if you withhold, the people are going to curse you. But not that they're going to be under a curse. The people are going to be upset. They're going to be hurt. Hope defers make the heart grow sick, Proverbs says. And that's exactly what he's saying. Remember, hope defers make the heart grow sick. Remember the people that are withholding the corn. There is a curse upon them. The people curse them. Not the curse from God. People are negative towards them. They hate them. But those who sells what he has, those who give and doesn't hold back, what's going to happen to them? There's a blessing upon their head. From whom? From the people. Hallelujah. So that's the first thing. He says, don't be stingy. Remember that the people expect this thing. I don't want them to be hurt. Give bountifully that there can be a good relationship between you and them. Then he says, I tell you, give a lot, but please don't do it because I put pressure upon you. Do it out of generosity. And then he says, don't worry about if you have a lot or not. Know this, that God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So what he says here is, don't worry to give to these people that you're not going to have. God's grace is that which will make sure that you always have enough. Let's quickly run to 8 verses 9. Chapter 8 verses 9. He writes to the very same people. He says here, just in the previous chapter, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. And herein I give my advice, for it's expedient for you. So what he says is, I give my advice in this. God's grace already supplies for you. And then he quotes it again in the next chapter here. He says, don't worry that you will not have enough. God's grace will supply it. He doesn't say your giving will supply it. It says God's grace will supply it. And then he quotes a scripture from the Old Testament, which is in Psalm 112 verse 9. And he says, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now what that means literally is that people will see his righteousness and it will remain forever, the thing that is done, plus the righteous. It literally says there in Psalm 112 that the righteous will remain forever. They are not going to die because they've given something to somebody. So what he did was, he said, listen, God's grace will always meet your need. For the scripture says that those who give out, they're not going to die. God's grace continues to supply to them. You know, so many times we think if we give away a car, we're going to die. You're not going to die. The grace of God that gave you that car in the first place will give you another one. Don't think because you've given a car, you're going to get another one. It's going to be a struggle. Just know the grace of God is good enough to supply to everything you have. So many times we think, you know, I've got 10,000 rand, and if I must give away 2,000 rand of that 10,000 rand, I'm going to die. How will I buy anything? And what Paul says is, don't look at your money as your source. Look at the grace of God as your source. He says, the grace of God, he says, God is able to make all grace abound to you. Grace is that which by which we receive finances. That you always, having all sufficiency in all things. You will always have all sufficiency in all things when you are under the message of God's grace concerning finances. That's what Paul says. God's grace will always give you all sufficiency in all things, to the point that you can even give to these people. So don't be scared to give. Rest your mind in God's grace. Rest your mind in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Now what he says there, he says, seed comes to the sower, and it's turned into bread. So there's something that happens to the seed that was given to the sower. It eventually becomes bread on your table. It is in the same way. You must go and read it from the Message translation. You know, I'm so sorry I didn't bring the Message Bible with to read this to you. But what literally says in the Message is, God has given you finances so that you can take those finances and give it to people so that you can turn into a mature person. So what he says is, seed is turned into bread eventually on our table. It's something that happens in our lives. He says, in the same way, in the very same way, the money that we give gets changed into something else into our lives, which is a manifestation of the righteousness that God has given us, which is called generosity. We are normal people. God has given us money. We take the money, we give it, and then we are seen as generous. Generosity, the fruit of the Spirit, manifests in our lives. That's what it says. Now, that scripture is quoted from Isaiah 55, verses 10, where it says that as the water and the snow come from the heaven, waters the earth and brings forth something. It's exactly what he says there. It's quoted from there. He says, let me read it again. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown. In other words, what he says is, the rain comes down, it's got an effect on the ground. In the same way, the seed was there and it had an effect in your life, it became bread. In the same way, finances has been given unto you, and as you give it, it's got an effect in your life, and the effect in your life is fruits of your righteousness. In other words, I am righteous, I give money, and there's fruit which is called generosity. That's what that scripture means. Verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So what he says is, you've been enriched financially by the grace of God. You've been made the righteous of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now you give money. That money that you give brings forth the fruit of your righteousness. And by that you are enriched in every area, spiritually, financially, and in bearing fruit as a Christian. Hallelujah. And what it causes, what you also reap is, it causes thanksgiving through Paul and the people that saw them unto God, saying, these Christians are really bearing fruit. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but also abound also by many thanksgiving unto God. So what he says, and let me just conclude this because we're running out of time. He says, by your giving, you are reaping people saying good things about you. That's the first thing. The second thing is, God meets your need by His grace. You always have all sufficiency in all things by His grace. Give a good amount, because then the people are going to be blessed. This money that's given to you, and by you giving it away, brings forth the fruit of your righteousness in your life. That causes us to worship God and the others to worship God as well. And then if you read on verse 13 and 14, I don't have time to go into that now, it causes people to even pray for you. So what they literally reap is thanksgiving in the hearts of people. People saying good things over them. They're reaping a good report. And people worshiping God. That's what they reap. Hallelujah. That is powerful. You'll have to listen to this over and over again, because it is such a powerful scripture. If we can really look into that and see the grace of God, how it manifests in the lives of people. Thank you for listening to this broadcast. I just believe God blesses you. His prosperity is upon you. His peace is upon you. And enter into the rest of God. Know that God has sown in Jesus Christ that you can prosper. Know that the grace of God is the foundation from where you think if you want to give or not. Amen. And then you'll have rest. And I believe that the financial prosperity of heaven will manifest in the lives of people in this world. God bless you, and amen.